and understand the illusion side by side. Otherwise, one becomes victimized by the illusion and it presents itself as the reality. One of the most subtle, Maya works two ways, according to what category of personalities. For the conditioned souls, Maya is just like, she comes on like a Mack truck. She just blows them away, to use a cliche. Sorry for my gross language. She overwhelms the conditioned soul because that's what they want. They want Maya, so they just get it. Comes on with all her, go here, do this, taste this, try this, meet this, go, it's just like, and more adventures, more activities, and they just love it. They just get into it, and then they get tired, and they go for something else, and they get frustrated. They just keep changing. But for a devotee, Maya works a lot different. A lot different. She knows a devotee is trying to become Krishna conscious. So for a devotee, she's more like what he called wearing the rock down by using the water process. She gradually, slowly, works on the weak points of an aspiring devotee and gradually, slowly pulls that person away. Just a little. Oh, you're a great devotee. You need a little break. A little bit of Maya will be nice for you. Just a little, not much. You deserve a break. You've been working so hard for so many years. Why not try a little bit of my treats? And so for a devotee, she's very subtle. She hides in the basement. But then pretty soon, you find yourself in the basement also. So Maya is very subtle for a devotee because she knows if she comes on with her gross forms of attraction and illusion, the devotee can see it. Oh, this is Maya. Reject. But for one who is actually serious, she uses other forms. So therefore, in order to counteract that, two things are important. One, stay very, very strict in one's sadhana. One has to keep very strong sadhana. Regularly chanting the holy names of the Lord with great attention and great enthusiasm. That foundation of a very strong sadhana will help us stay free from the subtle forms of Maya. And the other thing is that one must take regular association of devotees. These two things, chanting and regular association with devotees, will insulate and isolate one from Maya. Maya can't touch one who is serious about these two things. Regular and humble association with devotees, and regularly chanting very seriously the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And you will find that in the process of performing our Krishna consciousness, we'll go through periods where the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be difficult. It'll be dry. It'll be somewhat hard. These are periods that come and go in our life. And sometimes they're nice, where we will be chanting nicely. But whether we're chanting nicely, enthusiastically, or whether we're chanting, it's dry, it doesn't feel like, I don't really feel like doing it, I'd rather be doing something else. We still must stay fixed in our sadhana. And by staying fixed, gradually we'll see that Krishna's mercy again returns in those dry periods. So one always has to maintain a sense of steadiness in one's devotional service. And Maya cannot come in. Maya can only come in when one is not connected with Krishna. When as soon as we break from our relationship with Krishna, then Maya is there. It's like, what is the example? It's like there's a hole in the wall. There's a hole in a dike. And you're trying to hold the water back by putting your finger in the hole. As soon as you let your finger out of the hole, the water comes in, right? We've seen some jokes like that. People are putting their finger in a hole. So as soon as they let up, immediately the water comes through. So Maya is like that. As soon as we somehow or other divert our attention away from Krishna, and then we get an opportunity to associate with Maya and also to engage in her service like that. So Maya is very strong. It is said the conditioned soul is three things. There's three disadvantages. One is that due to our association with material energy for so many lives, we are accepting Maya as reality. The second thing is that Maya is everywhere. This material energy is Maya. When we see it separate from Krishna, when we see it in relationship to Krishna, it's not Maya. When we see it severed from Krishna, it's Maya. And the third thing is Krishna is ahoksaja, that he's beyond the reach of our senses. So the disadvantages are our own conditioning, the material advocacy, and Krishna's, he's transcendental. So it's every different. Therefore, keeping very strong sadhana, regularly chanting the holy names of the Lord, attending the functions, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. This used to be a very, very interesting discussion we would have in devotional service over the years, the importance of reading regularly. Some devotees think, I don't need to read. Some devotees think, I have so much service to do, I don't have time to read. Why shouldn't, you know, I'm doing service, that's good enough. No, because Maya will attack, no matter who you are or where you are. And if you're not ready, and you don't understand how you're being attacked and how to deal with that attack, and then you will become weakened by that attack. So we have to read these books. We have to study these books. We have to know the material energy and how it's working. And we also have to develop our relationship with Krishna, because by reading these books, what happens? We actually get a taste for Krishna consciousness. So we need to study these books. It's like if somebody were to tell you, don't eat today. Okay, I'll fast. So if they say, don't eat 2 days in a row, you say, well, wait a minute. 3 days. Hey, you're asking too much. That's like saying, don't read 1 day. All right. Don't read 2 days. Don't read 3 days. This reading is spiritual nourishment. It's food. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, unless my devotees read all my books, there's one statement, they will again return to material life. He uses the example that food grains make the body strong. In the same way, that the nourishment that one receives in our spiritual life comes by understanding the philosophy. It's a very important part of our nourishment. If we do not read and study these books, we'll again look towards material energy for some kind of satisfaction like that. So isn't to read these books are very, very essential. Srila Prabhupada said, I'm writing and you're not reading. You should be reading. So it's not for the sannyasis only or for those who have time. It's for everybody. Even if you don't have time, it's a very important part of our spiritual growth. It's essential. So we should read these books and study. Reading is like anything else. Once you do it, you get a taste for it. When you stop doing it, you lose your taste. Once you lose your taste, then you there's so many reasons why you shouldn't be reading. Oh, this is more important. I have to go here. I have to do this. And then Maya keeps feeding you. Oh, why should you read? But don't lose the taste. Once you lose the taste, then it's hard. So therefore, once you gain that taste, just keep it. Gain takes about 2 or 3 days. If you read every day for the next 2 or 3 days, an hour or two a day, you'll start gaining that taste again. And then once the taste comes back, and then you'll start to see just how wonderful this philosophy. These pastimes, these leelas, so many things are there in Krishna's philosophy. Okay, so these are some simple principles to live by. Any questions or comments? Yes, Shankar.
Maharaj, regarding the concluding comments about reading, how you're saying over the years some devotees pretend to busy to read.
That's the common excuse for those who are serious in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, yeah, but can it then work the other way? That once someone wants to read, that engagement should involve reading?
Yeah, that's, we have to have a balance. Krishna consciousness means, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is the middle road. Not too much, not too little. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta, what is it? Yukta swapna, karmasya, yukta swapna vibodasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. And that, there must be a balance. So reading is part of that balance. If we don't, if we become imbalanced in that area also. Because the mind is there, the intelligence there, it needs that outlet. If it doesn't, it will look towards that outlet in other ways, in terms of material information. We read India Abroad, right? Or, you know, these newspapers that people throw in the lobby here. Oh, let me find out what's happening here and there, you know, in the world. We get interested in that, the mundane subjects. So we have to have that. So, but the point is that yes, one should not go overboard. So therefore, Prabhupada made several statements. He said one should read, one time he said 1 hour a day, another time he said 2 hours a day, one of the times he said all day you should have classes from the morning to the night in your temples. So these temples are not for deity worship, they're for studying my books. He said that in LA. He said from the morning till night, he said just like you go to school, the bell rings, and you go from one class to another, have classes like that. He said that in LA. I was just listening to that tape. One time he said 5 hours minimum. So you have to find what fits into your schedule. But then I would say, if you ask me what is the standard, I would say you should read at least, well, that's what I tell devotees, read at least 1 hour a day. You may break it up into 2 half-hour periods, but at least an hour a day, minimum.
I remember once Kumar Krishnamurti related the story how when he was the GDC of all of India, he was sometimes lamenting that he wasn't able to just so systematically sit down and read Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada was actively engaging in going here and organizing this program, this festival, and he was always traveling. Mm-hmm. And he once related to Prabhupada that when it comes to his various responsibilities, he was always on the call, and he felt that his reading, and especially directly hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures, wasn't always there. And Prabhupada encouraged him in different ways, saying, well, some things on the movement must be spread, so we have to make sacrifices. And then Prabhupada made a point, I guess, in his own style. He said, when you become pure by executing these various duties, and then when a man has everything to be revealed within your heart, you'll hear everything that I said, and if you want to take it to present. So it seems like on one hand, Prabhupada certainly emphasized devotees to read the books, systematically become conversant in the books, but Prabhupada didn't want to see various services also going on.
Yeah, there's 2 points on that. Yes, Sunil?
I think I've heard a quote of a statement that there are 2 things, bhajan and kriya. So you do a devotional service, but you do also kriya, sometimes you work service too. It's not that just do the bhajan and not any tangible service.
Yeah.
So, and the same quote from you don't just do only tangible service and no bhajan. So it has to be balanced.
It has to be balanced.
You do the service at the same time, you have to do some tangible service as well.
Generally, when we think, well, I have no time to read, but I have time for prasad, and I have time to sleep, and I have time to talk to this person and that person. If you use those times and still do your service, cut out the maya, cut out the excess, cut out the, you know, the stuff that really relates to, you know, our body so much, you'll find you can make that time the reading time. And that's where we really start cutting out our service. He gave that similar instruction to Paramananda in New Vrindavan in 1973. Paramananda's, in New Vrindavan's a farm community. Shankar Pandit is a phone acharya also. Sorry if I... They say that... Oh, never mind, that's another point. He gave a similar instructions to Paramananda in 1973 in New Vrindavan. Paramananda said, I can't go to Bhagavad Gita class, Prabhupada, because I have to plow the fields and I have to stay out late in the evening to do it. Prabhupada said, you are living Bhagavad Gita. Told him that. And Paramananda went on and did his service enthusiastically. Now, there's another point that if Srila Prabhupada, or your spiritual master, gives you a direct instruction that is clear according to how you should maintain your service and your sadhana, and that instruction is coming from Krishna. Therefore, even if there appears to be some lack in one's devotional service, by following the instructions of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna, even if there is some lack. You know, Prabhupada told the devotees in Los Angeles, he was translating his books, right? This is a wonderful story. You should read this story. It's in Lilamrita. It's the more amazing story. Prabhupada was translating his books and he was doing Chaitanya Charitamrita and also doing Bhagavatam. This was in November 1975. And devotees were putting the book together, having it, you know, doing all the work, the pictures, binding it and putting it out. It took an average of 2 months to put out one volume. They were putting out one of Prabhupada. He came and he was really on a marathon of translating. He really translated Chaitanya Charitamrita fast. So he had about 16 or 17 books backed up. And everybody, they were, the BBT and the devotees were backed up, 16 books. So he came to Los Angeles and he said, you should do all these 16 books in 1 month. And not only did he say it, he ordered it. You read this story, it's amazing. The devotees stopped everything. Practically everything. They were chanting their rounds on their work site. They were falling asleep on their work site. Rameshwar, when he heard that instruction, he questioned Prabhupada. He said, it's impossible, Prabhupada. We're putting out one book every 2 months. You want us to do all 16 books in 1 month's time. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And he walked away. That was Prabhupada. He didn't want to hear, you know. He gave the instruction. Devotees, L.A. was mobilized. The painter, the artists were eating their prasadam and chanting their rounds in between paintings. They never left the painting room. The devotees were translating and doing all the work and putting in 1 month's time. And they met the deadline. They put out all 17 books in 1 month. It was a total miracle. No one can believe it. Even Prabhupada was amazed.
Part of the condition of the devotees requested Prabhupada to stay in
order to enjoy
that. That he would provide consultation at the beginning of time, so Prabhupada agreed.
Prabhupada stayed there for that 1 month so the devotees could be enlivened. But you can see by the... Yashyat Prasadam, Bhagavat Prasadam, Yashyat Prasadam, by the mercy of the spiritual master, Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangu Lagite Girim Yat Pripa Tanaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatayanam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can walk A blind man can see the stars, and the dumb man can recite beautiful poetry. The power of Krishna coming through the spiritual master can supersede any material obstacle. And that is the power of the mercy of the spiritual master. So when the spiritual master gives an instructions directly, the only question is how to carry it out, not whether it's possible or not. It is possible. It's the question how to carry it out. But generally, Prabhupada's instructions for devotees is that we should read these books regularly every day. That's his general instruction. So unless a person gets a specific instruction accordingly from Prabhupada or from his representative, then one must follow that general instruction. So there are exceptions like that when Prabhupada gave specific instructions. Then you're protected if there's some lack like that. But if we act independently and use the specific instructions as general instructions, then we put ourselves in a very difficult situation. There's a difference. Okay, Shankar, is that satisfiable? Okay. But I would encourage everyone to read that story of LA 1975. It's the most amazing story. You'll become so enlivened just reading that. And your service will increase too. Okay, so I think it's getting a little late. It's after 9. So thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.